Okay. Let me start out with a question. When you go to meet your maker, when you pass on and you're facing the Lord, what do you think the question that he's going to ask you is going to be? Okay. Well, I think he's going to say, how much did you love? And a lot of the other check-the-box things are not going to matter. It's going to be, how much did you love? And how much did you love the least of these? And as you know, River County, we went through a 1,000-year flood. And this scripture just came out to me. It's Isaiah 59:19. And it's when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And truly, the Spirit of the Lord has lifted up a standard, and that standard is love. But it's a higher standard than maybe what we've been accustomed to. And Jim put this up the other day on Facebook, and I was like, man, that's it. And this is just what I was trying to say, that the Pope Francis said, it's not enough to love, but people have to feel that they are loved. And a lot of times we might think we're doing it, but it's not achieving the goal, the purpose, that they do feel loved. And in this year of mercy, Pope Francis again sends us to a different standard. He raises the standard of mercy. And he said, those who are around you, you need to be sensitive to their needs. They don't need to ask you. You need to be sensitive to that, and then you need to meet their needs. So to me, that's a different standard of mercy than what I had been operating in. Well, in River County, we didn't have to have a lot of sensitivity. After the June the 23rd, when we received 9 inches of rain in about 9 hours, and the ground was already saturated, we were into a 1,000-year flood, and there were needs everywhere. And immediately, the first thing that you do is you seek God. You seek God and get into intercessory prayer. And as I said, I've had an ecumenical Bible study for 15 years. We call ourselves the Bible Babes. Well, the babes started calling, and Charlotte, her son, her grandchildren, on top of the roof. They went to the attic. They had to crawl out of the attic onto the roof. They were on top of the roof, and she needed prayer. That's her prayer. Another one, the babe, Cindy, her son and husband were out, and they rescued a lady from her car before the car washed away, and they had tied a rope around her. Well, a big tidal wave of water came, and they had to climb up a tree. They couldn't get her up the tree, so they were holding her head above water and holding her up by the rope. Not for a few minutes. They held her for over 6 hours. She ended up in ICU for several days. Mark, the husband, he lost a finger because of hypothermia, but they were all saved. But we also had requests for those unknowns, those things that were happening around us that we didn't realize what they were. We were able to intercede for those specific requests. And Charlotte's family, they were rescued, and they were fine. But there were so many, many, many people on top of the roofs, in and out of it. Washed, their cars were washed away, and just a lot of desperate needs. Well, the thing was, we were supposed to leave for Steubenville. I had a group of 21 going to Steubenville the next day. And I felt like God was saying, you need to go. You need to go. Water from out of receded. It was like a war zone. No one had electricity. We didn't have gas stations. But some kids did drop out, but the bulk of the kids wanted to go because they knew that they would find the corporate presence of the Lord like no other, and that they would feel the tangible presence of the Lord, and that He would meet their needs, but also build them up and give them strength to face what we were going to be facing in the next few days. So we went up, and it was like no other trip, because as we were going up with social media, they were finding out about the friends who died, the friends that were missing. Life, the fragileness of life just became so apparent to us all. And we were all questioning, like, are they with the Lord now? What was the relationship with the Lord? I never really asked. I never found out. I never made that connection with Him. type of questions. And then they started to look at their own relationship and say, okay, who has dominion over my life? What has dominion over my life? Is it Christ? And why is it not? And the theme for Stephen Bellamy was thirst. Now Christ thirsts for us. And definitely there was a thirst for to be in his presence more than ever. And it was a time of strengthening. There was one boy, Ben, who found out later, he was supposed to go on search and rescue because he worked in the volunteer department in Rent. And he didn't go because he felt like God was calling him to go to Steubenville. He had been the year before and he knew what was there for him. And so he came on with us. I didn't know this, but he went across a bridge that was covered with water. He was the last one to go across before it was washed out. Then he had to go to his friend's house. And the hand of God was definitely upon him. And he went to his friend's house. There had been a little brook. He swam across that brook to get to his friend's house to go to Steubenville. And definitely, God was protecting him. And he's one that God spoke to him and said to him, he said, Bennett, it's time to put away childish ways. That you need to grow up, and you need to grow up in Christ, and you need to be Christ in the world. And he was ready. He was ready to go back. And he left on the search and rescue mission as soon as he hit the ground at home. But they all received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. They laid hands for each other, and they knew that they needed the fire and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and that they wanted that baptism. They had received the baptism of John, but they wanted that fire and the baptism that came through Jesus Christ. And it was just a powerful time. And as soon as we hit Greenbrier County a week before, they were being on work crews with churches and with friends to go out into to the muck and to the mire and to be the hope and to tell people where their hope came from, that was through Christ. And the thing that we had as our motto when we were back, we were going to bring beauty from the ashes. That was our thing, to bring up beauty from the ashes. And we all had bracelets that say, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Christ is definitely our strength. Well, while we had been receiving living water through the experience at Steubenville, as soon as I got back, I started helping my cousin with volunteer and resource management. And I was looking for sustainable water, for tankers, because people didn't have drinking water. They didn't have clean water. It was like a war zone. And actually, our government, local government, White Salt, for the mayor's wife had just died. So he took a leave of absence. He's just like, I just can't handle it all. So there was some breakdown in leadership. And my cousin, God just rose her up to be the leader. And then I came alongside of her for that. But, you know, like I was so done. This was the worst of times, but it was the best of times. It was the most beautiful thing because White Sulphur had been sort of fragmented. It's become a drug den and just in so many ways. But this brought about a new standard. People were out there for each other in every possible way. And as soon as the mention of the flood came, people started flooding in, the Rose Hearts of this world. And see, there's a whole subculture of Rose Hearts, which I never realized that God had risen up and that they follow disasters. They come from all over the country. We have people from 37 states that, even California and Oregon, that came to help with this relief effort. And right where we were, there was a Pentecostal group from North Carolina. They were there the next day after the flood to start serving meals. Right next to us was the Billy Graham PTSD team, and they do trainings on PTSD. And all around town, you would see circles of people joining hands and praying and lifting up the name of God. Just absolutely beautiful. And one couple was led by the Holy Spirit to take vacation, come to North Carolina, and they'd never been to White Sulphur, but that was the town that God gave them to. They got into the basements and started running out. And there were just so many people like that that God told them to come and where to come, what to bring. And they were listening. And they were in tune. It was just so beautiful. And what God has done through this is he has brought about hope. And he's brought about hope not only for these communities, but I think for all humanity. Because you really see when the rubber hits the road, Rubicon and Ridgewood. These are just some groups that I personally work with and observe. Also, there's another group called Christ in Action, and these people work in demolition. They bring heavy equipment. They are experts in demolition and inspections and what you need to do, and helped and saved thousands and thousands of dollars and gave people such comfort and such peace that here are people who know what they're doing. But in the midst of this, and there was also great sadness. And a couple of people who passed on and lost their lives, I had known personally, and one was a little girl named Michaela that I met 3 years ago when I was doing my program in sixth grade. And she was just a shy little girl, but when you talk to her one-on-one, she just blossomed. And within my program, it's about creative thinking, vision setting, problem solving, and the kids are supposed to develop a product or a service to solve a problem or meet a need. And she loved the ocean. And we have each person do a little logo. And this is a God thing, because I've had well over 1,000 kids in the last 3 years, and I've thrown away a lot of the folders and different things that I had that we took on the shelf a couple weeks ago. And here's Michaela's folder. And she loved the ocean. And her idea, she was very creative, and she had an idea about a surfboard that would have some sort of mechanism to alert surfers if a shark was in the area. Then she had another idea about the red algae and the red tide that caused such devastation to marine life. And she thought, you know, there should be a way to use a laser or some sort of heat sensor or technology to raise the temperature for the algae so it killed off the algae but still left the marine life to thrive, which I thought was just incredible for a sixth grader. And so I had this, and I was able to share these stories with her mother, because she wasn't found. She wasn't found until it was passed on Wednesday. And today's her funeral, so I appreciate the prayer for her and her family. But you know what? She came to know the Lord 4 weeks before the flood. She gave her life to the Lord and was baptized. So we all have peace and that incredible hope. Another lady that I knew personally was Melinda, and I worked with Melinda with Girl Scouts. She helped with Girl Scouts, and she was a sassy little lady. And she went into her house after a cat, and so many people went into flood waters after animals. She went back to her house, and the waters came, and she couldn't get out, and she went to the top floor of her house, and she was on natural gas, and her house blew up. She was blown into a tree. And then, as God would have it, her son had taken refuge in a house near that tree. And at night, they were in the attic and were waiting to be rescued. And he could hear a woman screaming. And he found out it was his mother. So they talked during the night. He kept her going, hanging on in the tree. And it took all night before rescuers came. But Linda, you know that scripture about that for one who would live, they came over, she's like, no, go get my son, go get my grandchildren first, forget about me. And Linda did have birds that are 70% of her body, and she did pass on. But she left an incredible legacy behind her. But because of this and a lot of other things, it was wonderful being there and being able to meet needs, but I had the spirit of sadness come over me. I couldn't quite break through. And God had made me think about the book, The Shack. And I loved that book. It came out like 2007 or something. And I gave it away, my copy, and I didn't have it. But we went to a little lake house, and there was the shack, right when I needed it. And as Father Patsy said, it's a modern parable. And it is about tragedy meeting eternity. And it gives you, helps you to realize God's bigger picture. And it helps me to understand, again, I've known it, but you know, sometimes you just need that refreshing, and you need it at that time. And it was able to break through that spirit of sadness and for me to see that we're all pilgrims. We're all just on a journey, and these things that happen, it's all a part of a bigger picture and a bigger plan. that we just need to be filled with Christ and to be Christ. And I also learned through everything that we do, God always has tests, and we're learning about different things. And I also, again, I've known this, but it came home ever more clear, that God is the God of second chances, not second guesses. And a lot of times when you are giving out, and sometimes, you know, you can become a little cynical, I guess, or about this situation really need this, or they are these. And we did have scams and different things going on. It's a problem. You're going to have that with anything that goes on, people who are trying to take advantage. But overall, the majority, it was just people helping people, neighbor helping neighbor. But I had one lady, she didn't have much on, she seemed sort of out of it. She needed, and I was gathering things that she needed for her. And she asked me to pray for her. And I prayed for her, and then we had one of those long, just soul-searching hugs, and it was really, really good. And she left, and I noticed everyone else sort of backed off. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And they go, that is the most notorious drug addict, drug dealer in this town. And I don't even know if she lives in the floodplain, you know. And there was all this sort of the second-guessing part. But, you know, I just felt like she was the one with the well. And she was thirsty, and she was looking, and she knew there was something greater. And she had that thirst, and in some way, you know, through just being Christ and a hug, could bring about that in prayer. And that's the thing about this. I have heard of scores of people giving their life to Christ throughout this whole experience. At Michaela's ceremony, they had a celebration for like 10 people dedicated gave their lives to Christ during that one service. But then I have another story of the flip side. Muck boots were a big thing. And we only had 5 at that time because it was just early on. And a lot of people would just put garbage bags over their feet because they were in knee-high to this filth, toxic filth. And so those were very, very valuable. And so there was another lady that people said, oh, she doesn't even love in the floodplain. She's coming to get all these things. And we just gave it. We had to really know. And we didn't really ask questions. But then I saw her with a pair of mud boots. And it wasn't premeditated at all. I went after her. And I'm like, these are for people in the floodplain, you know, that really need it. And then she said, I live on Patterson Street. And Patterson Street was hit. It was devastated. And I just had to say, I'm so sorry. Please accept my apology. I am so sorry. Excuse me. I'm just going to go back here and call on and that's really what I wanted to do. And my friend who had given me the information, and I thought, oh, what's that lady think she's doing? She was very, very sheepish, too. She was feeling just terrible about that. But it just brought home that God is the God of second chances, not second guesses. We don't need to think, well, do they need it? Do they deserve it? Whatever. In all the instances, it's not just in the flood, but we just need to be Christ. We give out what we have. And I did notice where my friend, her son, went into their home, was there this past week, putting shooting lime, hydraulic lime underneath their house. So she was able to make amends in some way. I'm sure maybe God will give me another way to make amends for that. But and through this whole thing, also my daughter, she was at a girls' camp, and she was cut off. The only access was through the river, so we didn't know where she was. And she turned out to be, she was fine. But she's had the experience of being in a hired help, sort of in an exclusive atmosphere. And for the first time in her life, she's been invisible. And she, because she's a hired help, and they put people come and just make up to the kids and say hello to the kids and everything. And she and her friend are just like not acknowledged at all. Even when people would talk to them, they would look them in the eye. And this was a God thing. It was a lesson for her that she'll carry for the rest of her life, that everyone is valued. You give every person value. And this is another Facebook thing that came up. And country, this is so valid. The idea that some lives matter less is the root of all of what is wrong with the world. And there's so much truth to that. And I think that with that higher standard of love, it has to do about value. And that is how people feel love, when they feel valued. And it might be as simple as a smile. I think it is definitely as simple as looking people in the eye. I know my kids, they think they're so sad, and they're like, don't look at those people in the eye, don't look them in the eye. But you know, that gives them value, that gives them the love in a very minute way, but all the more. And I just think that God is calling us to a higher standard, and He is bringing up revival. And it is about love, and it is about loving those people on the peripheral. Those people who will probably never step foot into a church. It's going to bring a new standard for us, but I think we need to embrace it, and that's what God is calling us to. And He's calling all of us to give our hearts and give our obedience to what He has for us next. And we might not know what it is, and it's definitely, it's not retirement, because we're talking about this. It's not necessarily in the Bible, you know, but it's about context. Sorry.